Antonio Sanz.
Sounds like there's lots to talk about this morning. Good morning. My name's Karen, and I'm part of the team here, and this is Sue. And today, as we continue our Sabbath series, we'll be taking a look at worship. And worship can take many forms, and here at TBC, creativity is a valued and important expression of our worship. And as you may have noticed, we've had this beautiful quilt hanging here at the back of our stage. And Sue is here today to tell us a bit more about the process and inspiration and purpose that went into making this piece. So hi, Sue.
Hi.
Welcome.
Good morning.
You and I chatted about the idea of this quilt many months ago.
We did.
And it's really cool to see it finished and hanging here and looking amazing. And could you share a bit with us about how long it took, where the ideas came from, what inspired you to make this piece?
Yeah, so it probably was about 6 months ago that I was talking with Karen, and just the ideas start formulating for this quilt. And I, at the time, had a chat with Natalie and asked if she might do some photography to add a bit of depth to the meaning of this quilt, which she did, and they look fantastic in it, I think. But and also, around that time, I'd been reading a book on art and faith of the same name by Makoto Fujimura, and it's a fantastic, he's a brilliant artist and theologian, and yeah, in it he talks about how we're made in the image of God, of course, which we kind of know already, but just how God was a creator before anything else. And it just struck me that, you know, he's put that creativity in us. We're co-creating into his new creation. That's what he's busy working at now. And that just really started my process thinking about these things. And then I guess making this quilt was a response, my response to God as my great creator, and that was just my outworking, and we wanted something to represent Sabbath rest. So yeah, I was thinking about that and just thinking that it's about putting ourselves in that place to listen to God. And so while I was making it, I was also listening to some of the podcasts, the John Mark Kuma and team ones that Matt's been referring to throughout his Sabbath series. And yeah, that sort of just developed my thinking on this, and I was reading other stuff too, and just how it is our response to God, and that we put ourselves in that place to absorb God's wisdom and knowledge. Yeah.
Thank you. And I really love that term, co-creating, when we're creating art and expressing our worship in that form. As we've looked at this quilt over the weeks, I've been so amazed at all the detail and symbolism and story you've woven into this art. Mm. Could you tell us a bit more about that?
Okay, so there's sort of this dark, moody stuff going on around the edges. And for me, that represented how we are in life. And it can be in the mundane or the hectic, just how we're caught up in this frenetic pace in our culture today. And we have, and I'm, you know, that throughout it, I've quilted with a heartbeat symbol, and it's about, to me, symbolising that we're in survival mode often. And also there's quilting up the side here, which is sort of like a wonky structure, and to me that was about how we're trying to create our own supports and structures, and, you know, we can't do it right. It's only going to end badly. But while all the while, this wonderful, the white bit represents the wonderful love of God pouring into us, that it's always available to us. We need to turn around and pay attention to that. Yeah, but in doing that, we have to actively put ourselves there. It's an act of will. And I think that God's been teaching me that more and more. And so the grey area, that sort of bridges between those two, is how we are striving in our humanness to try and get to God. But it's not about that. I think, you know, God is always available to us. He gets where we're at, you know. when I made this quilt, it was at a point in my life. I can't change that, you know, I was a mess in different areas, you know, but this is sort of what is woven into it. Nothing's ever perfect, nothing's ever neat and tidy, but in that, Christ wants to move in and help us and to help heal us and be with us. Because he's really the white is symbolising like the source of life. So through there's water motifs through the white, which are representing like the metaphor that's in scripture about Christ being the wellspring of life. So yeah, that's sort of thought process going through my mind when I was making it. And how God's grace just washes over us. Mm.
And when you were talking to me about making it, you said you threw out the rulers.
Yeah.
And you had some little strips woven in there.
Yeah.
Could
I
you
forgot
tell us a bit about
Stu was going to read us a verse. Yeah. He's got Isaiah 33, 5 and 6 to read for us.
The Lord is exalted, for he dwells on high. He will fill Zion with his justice and righteousness. He will be the sure foundation of your times, a rich store of salvation and wisdom and knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the key to this treasure.
Yeah, I think that meant a great deal to me just while I was thinking about Sabbath rest. You know, it's what God's offering us in that, and that, yeah, the fear of the Lord is the beginning, because we have to be repentant in coming into that. Yeah, but you were going to ask me about
just about strips. Throwing out the rulers and adding in the little coping strips.
Yeah, so. I did a bit of a rebel thing and thought, I'm not going to do it the conventional way. So the quilters in the room will go gasp. But I didn't use any rulers. I just freehand cut. So, of course, it was very freeing. I loved doing it that way. But when it comes to putting it all together, then you have the issues. And so I put in coping strips. The technical term is coping strips. And I thought, no, I'm not going to take them out, because to me they weren't mistakes. It symbolised how in life we have people around us. We are a community, whether we want to be or not. We are a community, and we often need the support of others to help us forward in our pathway and to, you know, help bear our burdens. That's what the thought was there. So, yeah.
I really love that coping strip part, and that leads so well to my next question, because we don't create art in isolation. There's stories and people and communities that impact and shape our work. Mm. So could you tell us a bit about the community aspect of this piece?
So I'm a great believer in connections, and that you know your interactions are never by accident. I think they're God appointments, and I think that's to get to a place where I'm making this stuff. Was a series of things happening, and like people who taught me how to quilt over the years, and people who've spoken grace into my life constantly, or just people that I rub shoulders with every day. And I was thinking of my sounding boards, like Karen and Natalie and Reese, who's, I don't think he's here this morning, but they're my art sounding boards. And you know, I appreciate that. And my mentor and Stu for cooking meals when I was so busy and on a roll that, you know, he understands that and he just gets on with it, bless him. And and my theology teachers, like at college, I think that's helped develop where I am at now as a person, and yeah, that's hopefully what's coming out of there.
That's really great. And as we've spoken about all of this, where does this beautiful work lead us as a community? What is its primary purpose and your hopes for people when they look at it?
Well, my hope is that, I get that not everybody's into art, and you may just glance and think, oh yeah, whatever. But if you sit and are thinking about it, I'd really hope that you just realise that we are in the presence of a great God, and that he is reaching out to us, and that, you know, that's he's offering to bear the weight of life for us and to heal us and to bring us to a place where we are as he wants us to be. And I think Natalie's got a verse, Matthew 11:28.
Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
Mm. Yeah, so I think that's what encompasses for me the putting yourself in a Sabbath rest mode, you know, that God's a restorer and we need to dwell in his word, we need to stop and listen to what he's saying to us, and that's not always easy at different stages of life, but I think if we, he knows that, and he'll compensate for the busyness, and he'll give you a moment where, I just keep thinking of John Wesley's mother, she had nine children, and she used to throw her apron over her head just to have some quiet time. You know, it's that kind of mentality, you'll make space if you really, really desire God. So, yeah. That's pretty much it.
Thank you so much for pouring yourself into your art and sharing your faith with us in this way. We're so grateful for you and all that God is doing in your life. And could I pray for you?
Sure, I need it.
Lord, I thank you for Sue, for her creative mind, the gifts, talents, and wisdom you've placed in her and her willingness to share them with us. I pray that her work will speak to many for years to come, that the ideas captured in this quilt will resonate with the hearts and minds of the people that see it and lead them to worship you. Lord, please bless Sue and her family. In your name we pray. Amen.
That's very kind. Thank you.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Sue. Thanks, Karen. Sue, but thank you for not only making this beautiful artwork here, inspiring many of us to think around worship and how it's beyond just simply what we tend to box it into, but actually these expressions of our unity and direction and centering around God. We're gonna open up space. Wayne already did that a little bit at the start, but we're gonna continue to do that. I think one of the things that we've been looking at is Sabbath, is how it invites us into space to encounter God, into space just to pause, to listen, to respond. So we're going to have a bit of time for that a bit later. I want to invite you, Grace mentioned some questions before about your experiences. Have you engaged with Sabbath? If maybe you haven't, what have been some of the delights? What have been some of the obstacles and the questions that have come up for you? Basically, what I want to do now is just kind of to draw the threads together. There we go. Just to knit some of the pieces. Okay. All right. I'm done. Sorry. Yeah. If that went over your head, don't worry. It's done that most of the time. I've mentioned it. But I just want to close our series on Sabbath. This is the last time we'll be looking at Sabbath, but, well, in a formal way, but I hope it's something, a rhythm that kind of continues through as we look at different aspects. We're jumping into Genesis next, and so we're going to look at that, see how these rhythms of God's grace intertwine. But what I want to do before we do that is I want to look at something that Sue really pointed us to in all of this. We've been leading up to this point by looking at Sabbath as rest, as stopping, as rest, and as delighting. And so the final piece of the puzzle. But before I do, I just want to read this from a non-Christian author and professor. His name's David Foster Wallace, and he insightfully spoke these words at a college address in 2005. He says this. It's lengthy. Bear with me here. But in the day-to-day trenches of adult life, there is actually no such thing as atheism. There is no such thing as not worshiping. Everybody worships. The only choice we get is what to worship, and the compelling reason for maybe choosing some sort of God or spiritual type thing to worship is that pretty much anything else you worship will eat you alive. If you worship money and things, if they are where you tap where you tap real meaning in life, then you will never have enough, never feel you have enough. Worship your own body and beauty and sexual allure, and you will always feel ugly. And when time and age start showing, you will die a million deaths before they finally plant you. Worship power. You will feel weak and afraid, and you will need ever more power over others to keep the fear at bay. Worship your intellect, being seen as smart, and you will end up feeling stupid, a fraud always on the verge of being found out, and so on. Look, the insidious thing about these forms of worship is that they are not that is not that they are evil or sinful, it is that they are unconscious. They are default settings. They're the kind of worship you gradually slip into day after day. Put another way, and probably a much simpler way, and I could have cut off heaps of my time here, but is you will worship something. It goes back to when we started the Follow Me series. We will worship something. We will orient our lives around something. We will put our faith in, hope in, love into something to find our identity, to find community, a sense of meaning and purpose, to sense something. We will pursue it, sacrifice for it. We will discipline ourselves for it. So the question isn't, do you worship? Every person that has ever existed worships. The question is, who or what do you worship? And if we become like what, who or what we worship, which is what has been the premise from the very beginning, that we will become like what we worship, then what kind of person is your worship forming you into? What kind of person is your worship forming you into? What is the story that you believe, the habits that you practice, the community that you live in? All of this shapes you and deepens how you worship. That's why ultimately practicing the Sabbath is worship. Over the last 3 weeks, we've explored that Sabbath is a day where we stop because God stopped, because God created us to stop, because we are not machines, but we are human image bearers of God. Sabbath is a day when we rest, when we stop and we rest from slavery, from working, from earning and pursuing value in and meaning in what we do, in what we have. Rest from the burden of self and how others see us. Rest in the one who created you, who sustains you, and who loves you. Sabbath is a day where we stop and rest and refill our tank and we celebrate. We delight in the freedom that is found only in Christ, not just spiritual freedom, but physical freedom. We delight in his good gifts. We delight in nature, delight in the people around us, the community that he has drawn to us, delight in realizing just how rich our lives are. But Sabbath goes beyond stopping, resting, and delighting as it draws our heart and our mind and our soul, our entire being, to God in gratitude, in joy, but ultimately in worship. In 2014, Mel and I were doing a bit of travel, and we traveled to Switzerland, and we went to a place called Interlaken. I don't think I say that right, but that's how I say it. But basically, we had to hike up this mountain, and we get there. I don't know if you saw me doing tug-of-war with the kids, a bit out of breath. I was a bit fitter then, but still got up to the top, out of breath, hands on knees. And it wasn't until I stopped and I rested, and I caught my breath, and I looked up, and things weren't blurry, and I looked up, and this was the view that met me, this beautiful, delightful view, where I was able to stop, rest, and delight in what was before me. And I think that's what Sabbath is. First, it's an invitation to stop and rest, catch your breath from the chaos and the fullness of what has been in those 6 days that have preceded it, and then just to stop, rest, catch your breath, and then to delight as your energy comes back, to delight in what God has done, to the point where you almost where and as you delight, you can't help but slowly these feelings and recognizing the beautiful birds and the creation around you. How amazing are the people around you? This food tastes better because I'm not trying to shovel it in as I drive whilst on my phone. I'm sure no one's driving on their phone here. All you who laughed, you're but that idea of where you can't help but burst into spontaneous worship. Worship and gratitude and praise and wonder and awe at the goodness of God. The goodness of this God who invites us into this. Who says, you don't need to do anything. I've done it. Just come. Psalm 23, just walk with me. I'm your good shepherd. Just stop, rest, delight, and worship me. Dan Allender, someone who I quoted a few weeks back, he says this, "For 6 days I wrestle with a world under the toil of the curse, soiled by the oil of humanity's commerce, deeply longing for the bright wings of the coming dawn. And each day, at best, is a repletion of the day before. Unless the next day is the Sabbath. It is the queen of all days, the day in which division, destitution, and death are put aside to celebrate our union with God, to celebrate the abundance of his love, to celebrate the wild hope of the coming kingdom. Sabbath is worship. All week long, the false gods of the world, they lure us out of the orbit around God in a kind of gravitational decay, invisible yet powerfully pulling us down, down into exhaustion, down into anxiety, down into depression, down into, I don't know if I'm going to survive, I am numb. They promise us rest. They promise us delight and joy and a sense of satisfaction and identity and community, all these things, and yet all they do is give us this incessant weariness and emptiness of the soul, something that the Western world has honed to perfection, where we still crave it and go after it. God's invitation to Sabbath is a gift to humanity as the answer to our soul's longing, to what you were created for, to live in union and communion with God, your Creator. 1 day a week, oriented towards seeking the presence of God, bringing Him to the forefront of your mind, to contemplate the good news that God has given His life to us in Jesus Christ, inviting us to rest in Him now and forever. And then in turn, that we would give our lives to Him in worship. Worship that begins with rest. Do you know for Jewish kind of tradition, they begin Sabbath at night. So you probably have heard me, but if you haven't heard that, they begin often Friday night at sundown, so as darkness comes. And it's this idea of the creation story that first there was darkness and then God came and His Spirit came and brought life and there was light. And I think as well, one of the other factors of it is that it begins with rest. What do you do at night unless you're 18 to 24? You sleep. Sabbath begins where you are asleep, where you are powerless, where you are utterly dependent, where you don't know if you will wake up the next morning, but you assume you will, but it is only by the grace of God and His sustaining power that we do. We enter into Sabbath at night. Because from the darkness, God brings life. In the darkness, when we are powerless to do anything, God is at work, as we have sung this morning. That in the valley of the shadow of death, God is at work. That's what Sabbath invites us into, to contemplate this incredibly good news that we have a God who is not distant, who is not far off, who has not abandoned us, but is with us. And actually, as you lay asleep and are powerless, God is at work. And so we turn our lives to Him in worship. Even if it is just as you go to sleep, God, keep me alive until the morning. Finish your day with that. Wake up in the morning. God, thank you that I'm alive this morning. Start your day with that. A lot of us hear this word worship and we think of singing. And while that is definitely an example of worship and one where you can reach sometimes different areas of your mind that you didn't realize you could, worship is so much more. Worship is this. Worship is this. Worship is throughout the week and being with one another. In a biblical sense, worship is this idea of reorienting your life around God, our Creator. He is our center, the sun which we orbit around. It's to lay your life before Him, whether you are happy or sad, whether you are hopeful or grieving, whether you are inspired or disoriented. Our whole selves, all of it, He invites all of it to surrender to His love. We worship in Sabbath because we have to surrender to God in Sabbath. Surrendering our time, our resources, our to-do list, our attentions, and our affections to God. Every thread of our lives, yielding over our will to God. Worship is when anything we do, we center God in the middle of it. We direct our hearts to His love, to His glory, His goodness in worship. Because ultimately, Sabbath is not about this, about a day. It's about life. Remember, all the practices, we've talked about this before, all the practices are a means to an end. The Sabbath is a day of worship by which we cultivate a spirit and a life of worship. What does your life reveal of your worship? What does my life reveal of my worship? This series is about an invitation. As Jesus said, come follow me. Come and see. Reorient your lives. Start to begin your life around worshiping God. And if you struggle throughout the week, one day a week, maybe 2 hours, three, build. But the goal is not just one day, but it is all of our lives, 7 days a week. But start where you are. Start where you are and move at the rate of grace. Move at the rate of grace. But I want to invite you, and I'm going to close up here. I want to invite the band up because we're going to have, the idea is to have more time where we can share and we can talk and we can pray together. But I want to invite you to respond to the invitation of Jesus today if you haven't. If you haven't already, if you're tired and you're worn out, I want to offer that invitation. That invitation, you don't need me to offer it, but sometimes almost we feel like we need permission. But I want to reiterate the invitation of Jesus that says to come, follow me, leave behind what you are doing and follow me. And again, to the words that we Natalie read before from Matthew, but from Eugene Peterson's version. He says, get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. So as I said, we're going to open up space to talk, to ask questions about Sabbath, or just to pray together. We've got a fair bit of time and space, and I'm happy with awkward silence. So we can sit in this space, but there's no set agenda. It's just space to explore and to pray, to ask questions, and I'll try and answer some if you have them. But before we do that, we are going to enter into a time of sung worship, and we're going to sing a song. And so just to give you time to reflect, but please Take that time, and then we'll move into that space.